back.
Good morning. Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, March 3rd, 2020. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
I have none.
I have none.
Just that correction for the minutes, Dave.
Oh, we do have a, on the agenda printed out on, agenda on, under J, we have minutes for the regular meeting of February 18th. That should be the 25th. So, that's the only correction we have. Thank you, Jerry.
Thank you.
Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor. And election.
Yep, yep, it's election day for the Burlington School District special election. Polls open at 7:00, will close at 8:00. And for absentees, we've received, we have got 38 absentees, which we were surprised that we got that many, so.
I wonder if the turnout would be that high.
We'll see if anybody has to call and get more ballots delivered to their precinct or not. But other than that, and then, of course, candidate filing period started yesterday for county offices. And so far, we've got four candidates that have filed. So two for sheriff, one for board of supervisors, and one for auditor.
Who's running for the board of supervisors?
Well, I don't know. We'll have to find out.
It'll be on your ballot when you go in.
No, for the.
If you turned it on already?
For the primary.
Well, congratulations.
That candidate filing period ends on the 25th. And for anybody that's going to be on the general election, like the trustees and soil and water, they have to file their papers by the 20th. And anybody that wants to run for any of these offices as no party or anything else that's not primary or Republican or Democrat, they also have to file their papers by the 20th, 5 p.m., because they moved all of those dates up. So it's nice and confusing on who files when, so. Anyway, that's my update.
Thank you, Terry. Zach James, Southeast Iowa Regional Planning and Land Use.
Yeah, good morning. Things are going well. A couple of floodplain permits and zoning permits and some inquiries on some subdivisions, but just keeping us busy on that. I got a couple of meetings scheduled. I don't remember the dates right off the top of my head, but we do have a zoning commission meeting. We're going to discuss some updates on the ordinance update that we're working on. I think it's at the end of this month or early April. And then we've got a board of adjustment meeting that I don't think we have the date set exactly yet, but we had a variance request from somebody as well, so. Just keep plugging away.
Are you wearing your Christmas socks?
For my kids, yeah, my kids got me these socks.
I kind of figured.
His dad, that's Bob's dad.
I didn't buy them for myself.
You can always tell a young parent.
I like them.
I do too. That's cool.
Maybe I can get you guys a pair.
Where are you going to put on ours? I'll bet it's not dad.
Let's not go.
No comment.
Natalie Steffner, Recorder's Office.
Good morning. We have been busy doing birth and marriage records. The real ID that Iowa, you have to have for Iowa, and I know Illinois, and I think lots of other states. So Lisa has asked me to let you guys know, here's just an application of how to get the vital record. We have had a couple calls, reports of people that are paying $70 to up to $150 to get their birth certificates. So you can go online to vitalcheck.com. It is through the Iowa Department of Public Health, and they kind of screen you. But if you go to any other site, you're probably going to pay that price. To get it online, it should only cost about $28. In person or writing to us, it's only $15, but they do charge processing fees. So it's not illegal, I guess, for these sites to be out there collecting this fee and letting the customer kind of apply for it, but they cannot get that record for you. So, like I say, we've had reports of people getting it. So you can get the birth and marriage, you know, from the county you were born in. You can get it online through vitalcheck.com. You can mail us an application, or there is an 866 number that also goes through vitalcheck.com. And they screen you by asking you identifying questions and do an email follow-up and that thing. So just, like I say, with all these states requiring the real ID, we have been busy doing that. And just make sure they're going to the right site, I guess, to get the record. But it's always best to get it in person.
Thank you, Natalie.
You're welcome.
Janelle Natalie Longwood, One County Treasurer.
Good morning. Nothing new to report, but we have been extremely busy. They've been lined out the door the last 2 days, so Friday and Monday, I'll put it that way.
Why would that be?
The end of the month, first of the month, leap year, first of spring, you name it, income tax returns, I don't know, all the above. usually the end of the month and the first of the month.
Yeah. So do you do that every month?
Yeah.
Out the door?
Yep, it can be that way, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, motor vehicle.
Can't wait to see you.
I guess, yeah. I can't wait to get their new registration sticker, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Just don't go at the end of the month or the first of the month.
There you go. Yeah. Be prepared, anyway, if you do.
I skipped over to Sherman, the budget director. Did you have anything you're here for other than Jen? Okay. Okay, perfect. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. I rushed in to Janelle's office and paid my property taxes, so that's for another 6 months. But no, the MHDS side, Mental Health Disability Services, is going well. Our general assistance, you know, we've got the new worker in that now, Brooke, and she's doing well. We moved her to part-time, so she's there from 10 a.m. now until 4:30 instead of 8 a.m. to 4:30, and we don't get that much foot traffic between 8 and 10. When we do, either me or Patty go through and do some screener questions with people and get the ball rolling, but then when Brooke gets in, she finishes the job. So that's going well, and we're just thankful we're not having to do so much general assistance help with people, because that was really a lot with me and Patty trying to cover it while we didn't have anybody in the office. So I think it's nice to be back to full staff. That's about it.
So when you went in to pay your property tax, did Janelle see you and bring you to the front line?
No, I had to wait in line like everybody else.
Bummer.
It wasn't too bad, though. It was pretty quick. It was quick.
Thanks, Ken. And to bounce around again, you might want to make an announcement when property taxes are due.
Yeah. They are. The second half is due on payable this month. And
delinquent
March,
at the end of the month?
Well, after April 1st, yeah. They'll be delinquent.
So they're due April 1st or before? They're
March
due March 30th. 31st.
March 30th. April 1st, they become delinquent.
30th or 31st?
31st, I'm sorry.
31st, okay. The reason I'm asking is sometimes that falls on a weekend or
a
holiday.
Yeah, and it doesn't. It's in the middle of the week.
So this year it is March 31st.
Yeah.
Okay. Colin Gersh, IT. I'm jumping around. Where to keep my place?
Doing great. Just keeping busy like always. Nothing to report, so.
Okay. Thanks, Colin. Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. So with the weather getting nice, we're getting, I don't know, dozens of calls a day. People asking when we're going to open the campgrounds. People are getting excited about it. So as far as Big Hollow is concerned, we're going to do some work on some of our water lines. We want to put in some midpoint shutoff valves. So we're going to be doing that as soon as the contractor can get in there and get that done. Should be actually this week, we think. And then we're just going to kind of keep an eye on the weather. Generally, our open date is April 1st, but with the long-term forecast saying we're going to be well above freezing every day for the rest of March, we'll get a little bit closer to the end of March, and we might push that open date back a little bit. We certainly will not turn on the shower house up there at Big Hollow until we're certain that we're out of any real cold weather. And as far as the other two campgrounds, again, we're going to kind of play those by ear. But I know we've got a lot of people that are really excited to get out. I don't blame them. It's been a long winter, so we'll maybe try to push that open back a little bit. Our AmeriCorps team comes in on Monday next week, and so our staff is largely going to be training with them the first 3 days, and so that'll kind of mess up the field schedule a little bit, and then we're going to be getting them kind of onboarded, and that's going to be the full field staff getting that done. So we'll do it as we can. We will be awarding our FEMA bids at our board meeting tomorrow. Those come in, and So we're getting ready to award those, and that will be for removing the silt and debris at Stars Cave, repairing some parts on the Flint River Trail, repairing some roads and campsites down at our Maple Loop campground down the Skunk River, and then regrading and re-rocking all of the boat ramps, Sullivan Slough, Tama, and Hawkeye Dolby boat ramps. Those we're not going to have the contractor do until after the next round of flooding, for which we're likely to get another FEMA declaration. And so we didn't see any reason to go put a bunch of new rock down there just for it to go underwater for the months that it's going to be underwater again. So, but we will have contractors starting on those other projects as soon as they can get mobilized and ready to go, once we get the bid awarded tomorrow. So, and we have been getting a lot of questions about that. You know, why haven't you done anything with the boat ramps? You know, they're all silty, they're nasty. It's been a long, drawn out process with FEMA. We didn't expect it to take this long getting through the FEMA process. It seems like every time we have a disaster, FEMA changes the way they do things. And so I've learned a lot this round, and I guess when we flood again, I'm probably gonna do things differently. And so, because before, it used to be, you know, after the disaster, FEMA would come in, they'd see your damages, and then they would, it was pretty fast. You could get your award, and then you could contract this out. Because reality is, you know, for us to go in there and fix this with our crews, we don't have the human capacity. Now it's a very long, drawn-out process, and so in a future disaster, we'll probably do like what Rose does and just fix it and then try to get FEMA to pay us back or something. I don't know. They'll change it again next time.
How long do you get the AmeriCorps group?
Until April 24th.
Until April 24th.
Yeah, and it's a 10-person crew, so... we're looking at getting a lot done. We're really going to be focused on prescribed burns throughout the county. A lot of the timbers and stuff we've been managing the last several years and follow prescribed burns. And when the weather doesn't allow that, we're going to have them out doing a lot of trail repair work and other kind of park improvement and maintenance work that you know, it can be additive to what we're capable of doing with the few staff that we have. I think that's it.
Thanks, Chris. Secondary roads. Julie couldn't make it, so she sent Brian.
Yeah, she had to sit down in her place. So she had other stuff to do that's more productive. The guys are out blading, so that's kind of nice to come back to this weather. So, should be out blading all week, and roads are in pretty decent shape, I think. Do a little spot rock. We did that last week, but staying away from the soakers this time of year, that helps. So the longer we dry, the better off we are. Had the pre-con last week for the bridge replacements on Mediapolis Road. That contractor is talking about maybe mid to late April starting. They wouldn't give a fixed date. A lot of times it depends on where their crew is that's coming in and how they're going to do that. But
refresh my memory, who was that contractor?
That's Iowa Bridge and Culvert.
Okay.
It's that contractor, and that project will close Mediapolis Road in that area. So they have two bridges to do, and obviously a set number of working days and stuff like that. So that is going to come along, and goal all along was to try to have that open by harvest, and I don't see why that wouldn't happen at this point. So they actually have already done a little bit of tree clearing down there. All the tree clearing and brush clearing has been done before April 1st, which is the Indiana BAT deadline. So they're doing that. And then the 99 bridge is still moving along. We were communicating with the DOT on a detour route plan for that and got approval on that. And honestly, I think at this point, I'm waiting on a little bit of right-of-way documentation, but we're really kind of to the cusp of starting to create some work on the bid packet and stuff like that. So I think we're in a good spot there right at the moment. So yeah, things are coming along, and it's we did have the contractor for the Gear Avenue paving has requested to start in March if this weather holds.
Is that Jones?
That's Jones, and the subcontractor would Four Seasons would be the one that would start the earliest, because obviously you got to start removing first. And so we're gonna enter into some conversations with them about that and make sure we're on the same page. The bid language had that the engineer had to approve anything that happened before the beginning of April. So we're having some conversations. They're going to start having some conversations on that. But that may start up a little earlier than I guess one would expect. But kind of like Chris said, I guess if it wants to be this good of weather, that's what people want to start going. So anyway, so that might get things moving. It's going to be a real busy spring for us, busy spring and summer actually.
Tom Vance, nobody ever calls on you. How's things in the insurance industry?
Fantastic. Don't have any claims. That's the trick.
Hey, I was just checking to see if you're awake. Thanks. Oh.
just right.
Chris DePogamore, local health.
Good morning. We're keeping busy, obviously, with... We're getting lots of calls about the coronavirus. The Iowa Department of Public Health is doing some webinars to bring business partners and schools and just keep them informed, make sure they have the up-to-date information. It's a kind of a fluid situation, but they continue to encourage. This is still low risk to most folks. Quite honestly, the flu virus is definitely more of a threat. So still encouraging people to get their flu shot if they haven't gotten it, because we're still in the midst of high flu season and it can last clear through till May. Encourage everyone, last week they did put out the information to say that they encourage people to prepare for this like they would for a weather event. So if it, you know, have some extra medications on hand, those type of things that you would do if you thought a weather event was coming. So reminding everyone that, you know, the usual precautions during flu seasons: cover your cough, wash your hands frequently, stay home when you're sick. And then I do have an agenda item.
Thank you, Krista. Angie Vaughn, safety.
Good morning. Been busy. We just finished our coronavirus training. One thing I did notice, you guys don't have any hand sanitizers in here. So Rodney says they don't get used very much, so we need to make sure that we have those spread out through the courthouse to... That way, in between times, that people can use that on their hands and keep things disinfected. But just keeping busy. I had training last night with the West Burlington Fire Department. Monday, I get a meet with Chris's AmeriCorps crew. Make sure that they're prepared, safe, going to do everything right when they're getting started. I think this month, even though it's early, we're going to probably jump into severe weather after the tragedy that happened in Nashville last night. Tornadoes went through Nashville. So far there's 8 dead, just wiped out the center of downtown Nashville. So it's warming up, which is wonderful. Spring is here, but unfortunately it brings some of those things with us. So I want to make sure that we're talking about that, getting prepared, making sure we know what we need to do and get on board. But other than that, we're good.
That was last night?
Last night, yeah. They got hammered. I mean, it's bad. It's really bad.
My granddaughter's in that area. I'm surprised she might have called her after the meeting.
Yeah, make sure she's okay.
My daughter-in-law's from Nashville. I spoke. She said that she's in med school. She said they're postponing medical procedures. Well, she's not down there, but postponing medical procedures because they've still got people they're looking for that they think are trapped. Yeah. So they've got medical personnel ready for that. So,
It's never good when you see the pictures, but it... These pictures were really bad. I mean, they just, a lot of buildings just completely leveled, and so.
Thank you, Angie. Rodney Wiesner, maintenance.
Good morning. Just, we got a lot of stuff going on, but other than that, nothing new to report this time.
Thanks, Rodney. Didn't miss anybody? Either of you, gentlemen? I have no correspondence. What you got?
No.
We have a public hearing for the fiscal 2021 fiscal 21 maximum property tax dollars. It's a new requirement, so we need to open a public hearing.
Motion to go into public hearing on whatever you said. I'll second that.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. This is something they passed last year that they
had. Yeah, it's our first year for Senate File 634. We're required to publish the maximum property tax dollars that we would have in our budget for next year. And then we have to compare those to the previous year and show the proposed percentage of change. So we have published that report. We've done that requirement. There's a 7% decrease in the general services total, 11.75% increase in rural services. And that's mainly due to an increase in the valuation, which caused an increase in secondary roads transfer, and emergency communications is now funded out of rural services. And last year we funded part of that, or this current year we funded part of that out of the fund balance. Next year we're going to have to fund the whole thing out of property tax. So that's the reason for those increases. And now the board, you guys have to approve a resolution showing the maximum amount for the general county services and rural county services.
Is there any public comment on this issue? Did you receive anything, Terry?
No, I have not.
I will read the resolution. Whereas the Des Moines County Board of Supervisors have considered the proposed fiscal 21 county maximum property tax dollars for both general county services and rural county services, and whereas a notice concerning the proposed county maximum property tax dollars was published as required and posted on county website, whereas a public hearing concerning the proposed county maximum property tax dollars was held on March 3rd, 2020, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors of Des Moines County that the maximum property tax dollars for general county services and rural county services for fiscal year 21 shall not exceed the following. General county services is $6,956,542. Rural county services, $2,734,492. The maximum property tax dollars requested in general county services for fiscal 21 does not represent an increase of 2% from the maximum property tax dollars requested for fiscal 20. The maximum property tax dollars requested in rural services for fiscal 21 does represent an increase of more than 2% from the maximum property tax dollars requested for fiscal year 20. Is there any public comment regarding that resolution? We need to close the public hearing.
Move to go out of public hearing.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. And we need to approve the resolution.
Motion made to approve the resolution. And Tom just read.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Legislature was doing last year when we were asking for more money for mental health.
Yeah. Making sure we didn't get it.
We have accounts payable claims in the amount of $167,890.53.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brooker.
Yes. We have a resolution setting the time and date of the fiscal 21 budget hearing. Be it resolved, the Board of Supervisors hereby fixes the time and place for a public hearing on the fiscal 21 budget estimate for Tuesday, March 24th, 2020 at 9 a.m. in the boardroom at the Des Moines County Courthouse. The Des Moines County Budget Director is hereby directed to publish the notice and estimated summary as required by law. This resolution shall take effect immediately. We need to approve the resolution.
Yeah. I hate to approve it, but I'm going to be gone.
The board's going to approve it.
Well, I know. That's not what I meant. But I noticed I'm going through it. Terry's stuff. stuff that I had a very heavy conflict. Now I got three choices: ignore, call in, or drive back.
We've gone through a budget hearing before with two supervisors. So and it's a it's there's nothing new that's going to come up during that hearing. We've gone through it. We've approved our preliminary approval. It's been published. It's about to be published again. So if
the worst part of it is I missed Cheryl's presentation.
Oh yeah.
And I've seen it.
Well, if it's PowerPoint, she can email it to you.
Well, I've already seen it, I think.
Well, you can go through it again.
Well,
I've already sent it to you, so
yeah,
it's not going to change.
It's great.
I'll move to approve it, Bob.
And I'll second that. Terry, I just want a full disclosure.
Yep. Yeah, we'll miss you.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
I was losing sleep over that, you know. Ever since Terry sent that stuff back, I thought, oh.
Better you than me.
Yeah, I know when you put that date down, you looked both ways at us and says, is that all right? And I don't know how I missed that. I did. Must be the other guy's fault.
Makes feel better, Bob, you can call in. No. He didn't say that.
Okay. We have another resolution setting of a date. We have a resolution setting the time and date for general obligation county purpose loan agreements in an amount not to exceed $3,490,000. Since these resolutions are just to set a date and we will have to go through the actual public hearing, they're a little lengthy. Does anybody mind if we waive the reading of those resolutions? Are they that anxious to listen to my neighbor quality? Okay, we will waive the reading of those resolutions. So
thank God.
So we have a resolution setting setting the 24th of March 2020 at 9 a.m. here in the county courthouse in for the time and place for the resolution for the public hearings for the loan agreements.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry.
Bob Beck.
Yes.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Broker.
Yes. Okay.
I should say finally. Harder than the road bill.
Is that a sneeze?
No, this is the next one.
No, fine.
We have a resolution providing for the debt service levy for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2020, in the amount of $433,716 for general obligation bridge replacement funds. Whereas sections 331.402 and 331.441 of the Code of Iowa authorize counties to enter into loan agreements and borrow money for the purpose of paying the cost of replacement for bridges. And whereas the Board of Supervisors, the Board of Des Moines County, Iowa, the county has proposed to enter into a loan agreement, the bridge replacement loan agreement, in a principal amount not to exceed $5,400,000 pursuant to the provisions of sections 331.402 and 331.441 of the Code of Iowa, for the purpose of paying the cost to that extent of replacing a bridge, and has published a notice and held a hearing on that proposal. And whereas the board has also determined to issue general obligation bridge replacement bonds in a principal amount not to exceed $5,400,000 in the future, in evidence of the obligation of the county under that loan agreement. And whereas it is necessary to make provision for the levy of a debt service property tax to be collected in the fiscal year that will begin July 1st, 2020 for the payment of principal and interest. Now therefore be it resolved by the Board of Supervisors, Des Moines County, Iowa, as follows. Section 1, for the purpose of providing for the levy and collection of a direct annual tax sufficient to pay the principal of and interest on the bonds that is hereby ordered and levied on all the taxable property in the county, a direct annual tax for collection in the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2020, sufficient to produce the amount of $433,716. Section 2, a certified copy of this resolution shall be filed with the county auditor, and the county auditor is hereby instructed to enter for collection and assess the tax hereby authorized. When entering such taxes for collection, the county auditor shall include the same as part of the tax levy for debt service fund purposes of the county, and when collected, the proceeds of the taxes shall be converted into the debt service fund of the county and set aside therein as a special account to be used solely and only for payment of the principal and of interest on the bonds and for no other purpose whatsoever. Section 3, all resolutions or parts thereof in conflict herewith are hereby repealed to the extent of such conflict. That sound right, Cheryl?
Yep.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Approval of Anderson, Larkin and Company engagement letter for fiscal year 20. Is this the second year of their contract?
No, this will be the
first year
of
the new contract.
New contract,
okay. That'll from this one. This is the first year of the three-year contract, and it's the same as the previous three-year contract. I don't think they changed the price at all.
They didn't change the price.
Okay. And we're well satisfied with the service.
Yes, we are.
You might mention the price.
I'm looking for it.
I don't know if that has that on there. This is just an agreement that they will start the process for the fiscal year 20, but I think it was, what,
52,000? Well, we approved the
contract earlier.
Yeah.
I move to approve Anderson Larkin as our auditor.
I'll second that.
Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Everybody's interested in the contract. It was approved later, and it will be on file in the auditor's office.
Did you say yes, Tom?
Yes, I'm sorry. I thought I did. Who knows? Yes.
Got it.
You're very efficient, didn't you?
Yeah.
careful straight on that.
We have, and this would be Krista, we have approval of the Des Moines County Bioemergency Response Plan. I told you to read this, Bob.
Well, help you out, Bob, we need to approve it before you read it.
It's only about 50 pages.
You guys surely read it at home, didn't you?
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Krista.
That's all right, I've got a little overview of the plan, so I presented the Des Moines County Bioemergency Response Plan for approval. The original, best I can tell, was put in place in 2005, revised in 2014, and so we're updating at this point. Public health provides a number of services to our community. One of those services probably least known is our preparedness planning. Our local health department participates in an emergency planning through a 7-county coalition which receives funding through from the state. As part of our preparedness plan, we have a number of drills and we exercise plans that we put together. Last year, in conjunction with the Iowa Department of Public Health, we participated in an exercise around bioemergency planning. Through that exercise, the training and after action meetings, there were areas in our local plans that we felt needed to be enhanced and updated. Last year, the Board of Health approved our revised bioemergency plan, and I am bringing it to the Board of Supervisors for approval. The approval of this plan is in no way connected with the current COVID situation. I want to make sure I stress that. It's just coincidental timing with the current events, but this plan we've been working on in our health department for almost a year. So, the bioemergency response plan outlines a comprehensive statement of the jurisdiction's intended response to a bioemergency. The plan is written from the perspective of local public health agency, and it focuses primarily on describing expected actions and coordination among locally based government and private sector entities. This plan gives a written structure for implementing a bioemergency response, including a communication format, epidemiologic investigation, surveillance, control, medical response, and resource management procedures in the case of an event. This plan does not cover specific detailed procedures, only the framework which our procedures would follow. So it really is just a very global, generalized plan, and then we do have specific procedures internally at our public health.
Okay. And to reinforce, this isn't something we didn't come up with for that COVID-19. This is was a revision of an existing plan that you've been working on for over a year.
Yes, the Board of Health actually approved that plan back March 14th of 2019, and part of as we were working through these after action reports, there was specific memorandums of understanding that we reached out to different entities and wanted to be in conjunction with the plan is the main part, but then we do have our procedures, and we wanted to make sure that we had those procedures outlined in our public health. So yes, it has been well over a year on this. Actually, the exercise that the state did, Steve Mercer from our Department of Public Health did trainings, coordinated the exercise, and that was even last spring.
No, I just that was just a clarification. So.
Yes, absolutely. I'm stressing that because, again, with the COVID-19, the risk to everyone is low. So.
I move to approve Board of Health's hard work.
Second. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. Thank you, Krista. We have a fireworks permit. Sperry Fireworks, Chad Myers, for July 5th, with the rain date of July 6th, 2020. Been vetted by the Auditor's Department, and everything is in order.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes.
They put on real good firework up there.
They do.
It's family oriented too. That's what's nice about it.
We have the jail statistics from J. January 2020. These will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. And they show a little improvement as you get toward the end of the month. I hope that's an ongoing trend. We have minutes for the regular meeting of February 25th, 2020.
Move to approve.
Second.
Terry?
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brooker?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
Have none.
Couple things just to bring up. Zach sent out an email for that emergency management, for the hazard mitigation plan. You were hoping for somebody that conflicts with the conference board. I guess I'm saying, we can do the conference board with two supervisors if you think you really need one there.
It's up to you guys. We invite a lot of the department staff as well, too. So it's up to you guys if you want to have somebody there. I think you were there for the last time we did the update. So.
The conference board is 6 o'clock on Thursday, March 5th. So if I should probably go to that chairman of the board, so he's chairman of that. So if one of you guys would want to go to that, you think about it, and I don't know if you've seen that, but and the other one is the same thing. There's Rodney has the courthouse security meeting Friday at 1 p.m. I have to go pick my son up at an airport. He's coming back for a funeral, and my wife's out of town, so I won't be able to make the courthouse security meeting. If one of you guys could make that, it's at 1 o'clock Friday here in this room, isn't it?
Correct. Yep.
So you guys should check on that. Check on your calendars if you would. I apologize. But that's all I've got for other business. Future agenda items. Committee reports.
I didn't have anything.
I had no meeting.
None either.
Okay. Public input. Anybody from the public would like to address the board? Please stand up and give us your name and address for the record. See no one rise, we are adjourned. We will evaluation work sessions afterwards, and if the employee so desires, they will be closed to the public if they request. We'll take about a 5-minute break before we get started.